Here we are, episode one of Song Lab. My name is Matthew Lane.
And I'm Evan Lanham, and today we are interviewing a very special guest, my good buddy Nicholas Stockton of Midnight Suns.
That's right, Nick Stockton came in and talked to us all about songwriting, his process. It was a great time, and he also played a couple songs for us, one of which we're going to launch into right away here.
All right, well, thanks for checking out Song Lab.
So before we get into it, we'll just maybe I just met you just for the first time just now, so I want to ask you know, who you are and where you're from. Where are you from?
Well, I'm from a lot of places, kind of all over California. I grew up moving around, born in Orange County, lived in Concord, Walnut Creek, Danville is where I went to high school.
What was your first instrument? That you started playing?
I can't remember if I started guitar or piano first when I was a little kid. My parents were trying to give me lessons of these various instruments, and I like wasn't interested. I liked to like pose with the guitar, but didn't really like trying to play it.
Sure, me too.
It was too hard with my little child's fingers. You couldn't really play anything. But I always loved singing. That was always my favorite. Me and my brother used to sing along Beach Boys and do those Brian Wilson vocals and stuff when we were little kids.
Totally.
Did your brother play guitar?
Yeah. Yeah, my brother was like a piano virtuoso as a young kid, and he was the one that everybody thought had all the musical talent, and then he kind of burned out and stopped playing music and stopped doing anything productive.
It's always that older brother.
And I'm the one and then I picked it up because I don't know if I wanted to show that I was better, or maybe it was just because I was so inspired by listening to the Beatles when I was a kid, and that made me really want to play guitar.
So your older brother was an influence in that then?
Totally. Yeah. I had two older brothers, actually. One One's much older, and he burned me my first Beatles CD, which was a huge influence on me. And he was the first guy to have a guitar, and he played chords and stuff like that. And then my other brother, the one who's closer in age to me, he's only a year older than me, he started playing guitar and stuff like that. But it was more like a hobby for him, and then I got really seriously into it.
What's, other than the Beatles, what were some of those, or some of the earlier influences that sort of got you into it?
Early influences for me was, like I said already, the Beach Boys were my favorite growing up, like when I was really little, because that's the stuff that my mom used to play.
My mom put it, yeah, played that before as I was going to sleep at night.
Yeah, that's great stuff to grow up with. especially helps you develop
harmony.
Harmony, yeah, yeah. It's such intricate music, but also so accessible. It's perfect, perfect music to grow up listening to. And I listened to pop. I listened to Top 40 pop radio. In the 90s, we still had some good guitar music on the Top 40 radio. Yeah. We don't have
Can
that
you name
anymore.
Some songs that you really dug when you were...
I loved the Bare Naked Ladies, that one song. It's been 1 week. Yeah. I was in about fifth grade, I think.
Nice.
And I can still sing every single word to that song. With all that fast, like, rapping sort
Check
of
it
shit.
The China, the Chinese.
I thought that song was so sick when I was in, like, fifth grade. So. I still do. They have good songs. The Bare Naked Ladies have other good songs, too, I swear to God.
That's great.
Do you remember the first time writing a song or writing a riff or writing anything musical?
Yeah. I remember trying to make up, like, lyrics, I think before I even knew how to play chords, but I, like, made up little songs, trying to sing little songs, like, made up the words and with a little melody, but had no chords or anything like that because I didn't know how to play any. And that was when I was, like, a really little kid. I don't know what I was doing, but... Eventually, my friends and I started playing a lot of music, and I was in kind of like a hardcore screamo or some kind of like band like that.
In high school?
In high school, when I was a sophomore, I think. And the other guys were writing guitar stuff.
You were singing?
Yeah, and I was singing in the band. I played guitar, but I did stuff like blues guitar and like doing stuff like that, and I didn't know how to play stuff like... Those guys were doing, like, crazy metalcore riffs and stuff like that. But those guys would write the guitar parts, and then I would write the vocals that would be, like, the singing part of the song.
Cool. So you were...
With these really melodramatic, like, dark lyrics and shit. Oh, yeah.
What was the name of the... Do you remember the name of that band?
Of course, yeah. That band was called Ambulance Ambulance. We, we played a lot.
Yeah, I heard about you guys, I think, in high school. I think we've talked about this before.
Yeah, that's pretty likely.
It's, you know, that local scene, that same thing going on.
Totally, yeah.
Cool.
And then, eventually I started playing and writing my own stuff, like, after that band.
Do you write primarily on the guitar?
Yeah, I think I write exclusively on the guitar or in my mind and then later pick up the guitar and say, okay, this is what I was thinking about.
Cool. All right, and how do you write lyrics? I know for me, like, it's sort of a weird, pretentious thing to talk about. I know, like, what inspires you usually, but and things like that. But for me, it just started out with just trying to rhyme silly things. So I'm sort of just trying to rhyme words at all. And so I'm curious how you put together a string of thoughts like that.
Yeah, I love that. I used to not really think about the words much in music, or I thought I wasn't thinking about the words much. And then I sort of realized it's the most important part of a song, because there's a lot of songs that might have the same melody, might have the same chords as another song, and having your own words to it makes it your own song, you know? Back in the day... Somebody like Woody Guthrie or somebody would write a song with like a Carter Family melody, and then he would make up his own words to it and make it his own song. So I started thinking seriously about writing words that I thought were, if not important or like unique or anything, at least it was my own words, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And what was the question? How do I come up with them?
Well, yeah, or maybe what is the process? Maybe you go... Do you write lyrics first? Do you write maybe a poem and then fit music to that, or backwards? Do you Do you find the syllables and the melody first and plug in the words?
It comes different to me every time. Mm-hmm. I find that my best stuff, or the stuff I consider to be my best or that I'm proudest of, the words and melody will come at the same time. The great line will come into my head, and then I'll say, oh, shit, and the entire song will stem and develop from that. Like, and it just happens automatically. Other times I'll do a song where I'll be like, all right, I'm going to sit down and write a song today, and then I'll be like doing something on the guitar, and then I'll be like, okay, here's a little melody. I'll write just some little words. But even in my most inconsequential sort of like practice songwriting, like stuff I might not even intend to use, I like using wordplay and at least trying to do sort of clever things, if that makes sense.
Yeah, punchlines and the like, fun metaphors and analogies.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Any songwriters that come to mind that are you're especially influenced by? Or it just depends on...
Lyrically?
Yeah, lyrically.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever have anybody in mind when I'm writing my lyrics, but I feel like you internalize your influences if you listen mm-hmm. to a lot of music and write a lot of music. I would say Hank Williams is my very number one favorite songwriter. Hank Williams and Bob Dylan, as different as they are. I'd say I get equal amounts from both of those guys. The simplicity of Hank Williams and the concision with which he delivers his thoughts, you know?
Yeah.
Very simple. Sometimes he uses sort of imagist, sort of poetic devices, which I thought was maybe he was one of the first guys in country music to do that, or popular music, as it were.
Yeah.
And then Bob Dylan, of course, very much that stream of consciousness, sort of weird, kooky shit that he does, is cool, too, because of how literary it is.
Right, because you come from a literary background.
Oh, that's right. I attended San Francisco State University and got my bachelor's in English Lit. And I always have loved reading, and I think that is more of an influence on my songwriting really than any music I listen to, is everything that I studied in school, which is a lot of poetry and a lot of prose and just literature in general. I think about the one thing I've taken away from that is word choice is very important. Connotations of a certain word that you can use can change meanings of your song. So if you're in the middle of writing a line and you're thinking, should I use this word or that word, you might pick it for alliteration, you might pick it for rhyme, you might pick it for something else. But whatever word it is you pick, there's always going to be another meaning behind it, whether you intend it or not. Some person is going to read it differently, so to speak, read it, hear it, you know, define it in their own mind when they hear it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. As subtle as a child and the child, you know.
Totally. You know. Exactly.
Yeah, and you know that my favorite famous story is the Paul McCartney one, where he would walk around backstage at everybody else's concert and ask them what they thought of his new song, which he just sang as "Scrambled Eggs." Everybody loves my scrambled eggs, you know.
Yeah.
And I heard that a long time ago, and since then I've been very fascinated with how to do that, you know, what's the most important part, and like you said, the lyrics are the most original part that you can put into the song. You know, everybody else has played that chord before and probably figured out that change and turnaround before, but
yeah and I like using the old ones too. I like using the tried and true chord changes and turnarounds. Sure. And stuff like that.
That's what's fun about blues, and
yeah,
you know,
and a lot of my influences come from that sort of traditional music. So
what are your current, what is your current status as a songwriter? What are you doing? You're in a band, right? The Midnight Suns?
Yeah.
And I've listened to your 2013 demo.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's not too bad, is it?
No, it sounded good.
We listened to it at his house, and I was like, oh, it's not so bad.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
No, it's not.
Did you listen
to it? The new stuff sounds way better.
Yeah. Did you listen to it too much right out of the gate until you thought it was?
No, I don't. Maybe while you're working on something and mixing and remixing and
you so judgmental.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare.
You get really jaded to your own sound. And then someone else will hear it and be like, oh, this is great. And you'll be like, really? You think so? Right. You like this?
Or you hear it 6 months later. It wasn't so bad.
Yeah, especially.
It is a bummer. It's people get to the point where they don't, you know, they'll pull it down and not let people see it anymore, you know? And
I'm not like that, yeah. But even the stuff we're working on right now, I'm getting to that point, working and mixing and remixing and tracking and tracking and double tracking and oh my god,
yeah.
I hate those. Not to mention the same songs we've been playing for a year or two or whatever.
Right.
And got a whole new batch of them coming out. Yeah. Let's get ready.
And then that's usually the case when you're recording them, you have a new one that you're excited about more than any of those that you can't record anywhere. That's a tale as old as time. What's so Midnight Suns? Are you guys preparing to record or what's?
We're in the middle of recording an EP. What is projected in my delusional mind to be a cassette tape release.
Cool. What are the besides cool factor? What is there a strategic plan behind that?
Yeah. I like the cassette thing because it's very much a new economic medium for underground independent bands to deal in. They're extremely cheap to produce, even cheaper than CDs. And you, with the added benefit of a good analog sound, a good tape sound, a lot of people are finding sort of redemption in the older media for that reason. You also have something tangible that is, it's not like when you just have a burned CD and you're going to put those tracks on your computer and throw the damn thing away. You have a nice little thing with a little piece of paper that folds up in it, and somebody put their nice little time into printing it out. And extremely cheap to produce and cheap for you to buy. When I sell it to you at the show, it's going to be $3 or $4 whatever bucks. Throw a download in there. You might not even listen to the tape, but you buy it just for... I buy stuff like that to support bands when they go out there and they're selling their thing. It's nice to have a nice little collection of
tapes.
Yeah. And a lot of bands are dealing in that right now. And there's a lot of up-and-coming labels that are putting out tapes essentially for free. If you get a label interested, a lot of them will put out your tape for no charge to you and give you a whole bunch of them to sell. And it's like, I think that's beautiful. It's so communist.
No, it's genius. I don't know why I didn't. I mean, with vinyl, everybody's doing the limited vinyl releases. I didn't ever think about cassettes.
Vinyl's great, of course, for all the reasons that you already know, but vinyl's expensive, and yeah. You have to have really good sound quality to make a worthwhile vinyl, and there's so much that goes into it, like pressing a vinyl. Like, anybody can reproduce tapes. Tapes are, I think, really great.
And most people still have tape decks in their cars.
Somebody will have a tape deck. And if they don't, whatever. They don't have to buy the tape. We're going to have it up for download on the Bandcamp.
Sure. Of course. Yeah.
But, yeah.
Good deal. And are you guys playing out at all?
Yeah. We've been playing. We've played probably 6 or 7 shows by this point. Having been a band in our completed lineup that we have right now for maybe 7 or 8 months. Huh?
Nice.
What do you say?
Time flies when you're having fun.
Oh. yeah, we've played out a little bit. Our first show, we played at El Rio. We played at Milk Bar. We played at the Uptown in Oakland. We played at...
The Depot.
The Depot at SF State.
How often do you write, and when you write, do you have an audience in mind? Are you your own audience?
Nice question. Well, I try to write something.
This is a safe space. You can be honest about that.
I try to, like, I write a lot of practice songs that are just, like, in my opinion, total garbage, and I just sit there and kind of write it, and I'll be like, well, that's going nowhere. I'll do one of those, like, almost every day, every other day. But it's very sporadic for me. I really believe in the muse of divine inspiration, wherever it fucking comes from. Excuse my language. Sometimes I can write two really, or what I would consider to be really good songs in one sitting. I literally sit down and write two back to back, like when I'm having a good day. Sometimes I'll go for weeks without writing anything that I think it has any value whatsoever. terms of my audience, that is a thing that I struggle with and wrestle with quite a bit, because why be a musician if you're not going to entertain anybody? I believe in a musician being entertaining, and I don't believe that pursuing popularity necessarily negates your cred as a musician, because entertaining people is, to me, the most important part of music. I love singing for people, and that, you know, I do it for myself. Yeah, I love sitting around and singing something while I'm just sitting around by myself, but having a room full of people and sharing that feeling with a lot of people is really the most gratifying part of it. And so I would say that in terms of my own songwriting, I really try to walk the line between keeping up to my own standards of integrity and writing something that I think other people will enjoy and latch onto.
Excellent.
That's a good answer.
Thank you.
That's a hard question.
It is a hard question,
because
it could change weekly, you know, or I don't know.
Totally. And it totally does for me.
Yeah, it totally does.
Yeah.
My approach is always changing.
Right. Right. I mean, and it probably changes with age and success of your band. Like, a lot of bands are just trying to please their label.
Yeah.
And so they're...
Label or the fans that they've already won.
Right. And so that ruins people.
That's absolutely true. That's how is labeled a sellout.
Can
often be born.
Right. That's pretty much the definition.
If you continue to write for your fans, then I don't think you'll ever be a sellout. But the thing is, your fan base can grow and can broaden.
Right.
My favorite example to cite is the Black Keys, who I first heard the Black Keys and I said, oh my God, these guys sound literally like a 40s, like Chicago blues band, like recorded in the, you know, on somebody's porch, and it sounds so sick. These guys are the coolest. And then somehow they broadened their appeal so widely that now I feel like their songwriting approach is very formulaic, very pop oriented, and basically designed to like play over the loudspeakers at a baseball game
to pump up the
crowd. And it's like, and it's still good, and I still think they're one of the best rock bands, because there's about three rock bands out there that you can even choose from in terms of the mainstream.
What are those three?
Kings of Leon.
Oh, no.
Who I've, like, never even heard. I've managed to avoid, I'm pretty sure. Foo Fighters. They're good.
Dave
Grohl. I respect the hell out of Dave Grohl.
Yeah, that guy's
Foo Fighters
awesome.
Is a real rock band.
Yeah.
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 Agreed.
Yeah, they are. Jack White.
Oh, Jack White, too. I mean, I love Jack White and the work that he does, what he does as a person. I really dig, but I haven't liked any of his stuff since probably the second to last White Stripes album.
I think the second Raconteurs album was pretty impressive.
Maybe I need to hear the whole album. I heard the single and said I wasn't interested, I guess.
I'd agree with that. That single was dog shit. Lastly, I guess, how do you grow? I guess, like, what makes you a better songwriter than you were the last song that you wrote?
I think it's kind of like I listen to the older things that I've done, and whatever parts of that make me cringe or blink, I shave that part off, or I stretch out the other part, and I sculpt my process to better suit my aesthetic tastes.
Excellent.
That's cool. That's well, and that's right along the line with what Evan and I were talking about. Looking back at listening to old songs is sort of like making you cringe. It's sort of like looking at an old yearbook picture.
Mm-hmm.
Good God. What was I thinking? embarrassing.
I did have some pretty cool yearbook pictures, though.
Sure. Oh. I guess I'm also curious. What made you go with be a band like Midnight Suns rather than Nick Stockton?
Oh, well, I like bands. A band is more like an art project than a solo singer-songwriter project can ever be, because you make up the name, you make up the sort of image and mystique and artwork and everything applies to the project. Whereas if you are just, if it was just me, like my own name on the flyer sounds so much more generic. Like you see Midnight Suns and you're like, what's that? You read Nick Stockton, you're like, oh, another guy with an acoustic guitar. I don't need to see that. That's how I always feel, because I just like bands. I like bands. And so I definitely don't want it to be like, me, this is the me show, featuring these other guys on the other instruments. Like, I like the collaboration of the band being part of the thing. And I never want there to be that much attention on myself as being the, like, I don't want to be the name. I'm reluctantly the face or front man or what have you, but it's not like, I don't know, that's not a part of my thing. Like, as much as songwriting and stuff like that is important to me as, like, who I am individually as an artist, credit is due to the band, always.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's interesting. I always sort of felt the same way, even unintentionally, I'm wondering if you do the same. When I was in a band and I would write a song that didn't fit with the band, even though I never, and still don't, like, I never really planned on having a solo career, like, that would be a song somewhat that I would file under, like, the solo career, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I think everybody does that.
Do you do that?
I absolutely do that. I know Evan does that. Everybody does that. Sometimes you can't help what kind of song comes out of you, and Sometimes it's like, this doesn't sound anything like I could play with my band, but, you know, I'll file that away in the little folder of, like, me time, you know?
My acoustic album, yeah.
Yeah, and that's totally valid. I dig that.
Yeah, cool.
But I have a project right now to focus on, and so that's what I aim for. If something weird comes out, then maybe I'll play it for my buddies as a joke, or I'll just hang on to it. It depends on what it is, but...
Do you generally write alone, or do you have a collaborative, what's the ideal? Do you have a buddy you call, you know, or is it the band? Do you bring ideas to the band and get the input at that point? What's your ideal process for collaborating?
I usually will write 90% of the song by myself. I will definitely write all of the, like, parts, words, melodies, stuff like that. But then when I bring it around to the band, it'll be like, oh, we ought to switch these parts or throw the bridge in here or, like, change this or change that or, like, maybe make this intro longer and, like, things like that. That's where the band comes in terms of the way we've been doing this.
That's how you like to work?
That is how I like to work. I like collaborating, too. Depending on what we're doing. Evan and I used to collaborate a good deal. When we have an idea in mind of what sort of project we're going to do, which was Evan and I used to have a sort of jokey, like...
The Frankensteins.
Like sort of an early 60s sort of harmony pop band with tongue-in-cheek lyrics. And we used to do a great job collaborating. We could bang those songs out.
Oh, man.
And they were great songs, too.
Maybe that will resurface one day.
It depends on where the song is coming from. If it's coming from a true emotional place, then I'm gonna write that song by myself. If it's like, let's work on a song, how about this and how about that? We're gonna do a funny one or we're gonna do one that goes like this, then I love working with other people. Yeah, that's cool. The way I've always done it anyway.
I like it.
How do you define a well-written song?
Well, man, I love honestly pop sensibilities mixed in with other things. For example, what I heard the other day was some Birds song that I hadn't heard before, and it was like it starts out sounding kind of like a country thing. And then there's some bridge that's like straight like Beatles chords, you know, like very sort of tricky chord changes. And that's the kind of thing that will make my ears perk up and be like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that, but it sounds great, you know? At the same time, somebody like Johnny Cash or Hank Williams or somebody will use the same exact chords every time, and every time it's great. I think the best thing for a song is that the lyrics and the melody work perfectly together. And that's why I think lyrics and melody almost have to come at the same time, or the lyrics come first and the melody will find itself along with the lyrics. If you are reciting your lyrics over some chords, you're going to find a great melody that goes along with them. It has to be perfectly in sync. Does that make sense?
Yeah. One more question, sorry.
No, yeah, please.
Do you gradually write your songs, or do you write them in the same moment? Do they happen over a period of time?
It's different every time. Usually, I will be able to bang out the bulk of it in one sitting when it's really flowing. Other times, I will come up with one verse, and it's just an idea, and then I'll forget about it forever and ever, and then I'll like write another verse, and then I'll come up with a bridge, and then that'll be the song, you know? Yeah.
I mean, do you have any songs that elude you? Songs that have just like... Because I have one. As soon as you asked that, I just started thinking about one song that I've wanted to finish for years, but like I just can't find I can't find the finish. I can't find the other part to it. I just have A and C, and there's a B so part many. That is just...
I mean, absolutely. It's pretty much those songs that you write every day.
Yeah. And then sometimes that you can go back to them, and sometimes you can't. Sometimes you'll say like, God, this is a really great little part or a really great little melody, and I just can't finish it. And then someday you're just sitting around and you're like, boom.
Right. Yeah, that totally happens.
My primary inspiration for starting the band Midnight Suns was when I was actually in Nashville on a little trip to Nashville, and I had all these kind of ideas for vaguely country sounding rootsy sort of songs that I was kind of writing and thought that everybody would think they were dorky, and I didn't really want to show anybody, but it was what I was coming up with. And then when I was in Nashville, it's like all the bands play like that. And yeah. I'm not even talking about the honky-tonk scene. I went to like a underground, like, you know, whatever, indie alternative punk rock show or whatever. And all the bands kind of had that sort of Nashville thing going on, even though they were like doing their own thing. And I was like, oh, all right, I can do this too. And the next morning I woke up and like finished a song that I had started and like wrote a brand new song and like basically had the foundations of our first couple of Midnight Sun songs just based off of that. This is cool. I can do this. Like, this comes naturally to me.
Excellent. I'm curious. This doesn't actually probably work for every interview we do, but because you are a singer, I'm curious about finding your what people would call like your voice or your signature sound, you know? And that does work for songwriting too, because I think the goal of for finding a signature sound is that you could start a Midnight Suns song, and before your voice even kicks in, somebody could say like, "Hey, this sounds like a Midnight Suns," you know. And that is sort of an ideal situation as a songwriter. This sounds like a song Evan wrote, you know. Like, that would be awesome if it really was too, you know. Like, and that doesn't happen very often. That's maybe like a Stevie Wonder, Michael Jackson, Burt Bacharach kind of thing, you know, that doesn't happen often, but both you and Evan both have different singing voices from your speaking voices as well. And so I'm curious how you find your voice.
Good question.
Yeah. Okay, so my singing voice, not my songwriting voice.
Oh, it's such a difficult thing.
Both, I mean, just your sound overall, you know, I mean, both, yeah.
Okay. Very, very much of it is borrowed from, I guess I would say, all kinds of like roots music, like traditional blues and country music. Like, I try to sing from a deep place, like inside of me, you know, which sounds really stupid, but oh. I like to sing with feeling. There's no artifice of putting on any kind of fancy little voice or anything like that. It's very much like I'm just kind of closing my eyes and like saying the words, and they come out that way, you know?
Cool.
And my voice itself is a tricky little box, as anybody's is. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
I notice you don't like to warm up before you sing. Can you talk about how, what's your preface to your...
Do you have a regimen?
Oh, boy. Well, I think that I tend to just think a more raw, kind of a more raw, unpolished sound applies so much better to real, pure, emotional music. I mean, if I wanted to sound really nice, I could. I've taken voice training.
Oh, yeah? That's cool.
I know classical technique to a little degree, and that just has nothing to do with singing country rock music, man. Yeah. My voice likes to get all raspy and shitty, then I'll let it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well...
So, I mean, we kind of wanted to end it. If you're up to it, you don't have to. We wanted to see if you can play a song or two.
I'd love to.
Cool.
Well, thank you very much, Nicholas Stockton, for coming on the show, bud.
Thanks.